In thinking about the gospel reading that we've had from John chapter 3, both yesterday and this morning, one of the things that strikes me is Jesus making this very clear distinction or contrast between earthly things and heavenly things. I'm all too well aware of how in my own life, the things of earth, the things of this world can weigh me down. But when we come to an understanding of the reality of the resurrection and what it means for our lives, it's like putting helium into a balloon. And the gravity that would keep us down is no longer able to hold us, and we are lifted up so that we can discover more fully what it means to share in the life of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Indeed, at the end of his conversation with Nicodemus this morning, Jesus puts it so clearly. And just as Moses was lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And one of the things that strikes me about this eternal life, particularly as we read it described in the Acts of the Apostles, this is not a life that just awaits us after we die, but this is a life that breaks into our lives now, and it makes a difference in how we live in the present. In our reading from Acts, we see this insight played out in a particular way. Here's the church. They have absolutely no power in relation to human institutions, in relation to the things of this earth. But their power is one that's infilled and infused by the Holy Spirit. And there are two key ways in which we see the early church manifest this power. The first is that they are united in their proclamation about Jesus Christ. For St. Luke tells us, with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Listen to this. And great grace was upon them all. They were so convinced of the reality of the resurrection that this affected everything. And because of the clarity of their proclamation, they experienced the reality of the grace of Christ. So the first thing we see is unity in their profession. That is what they express to be true. They continually testified to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and as a result, they knew the favor of God. Now, listen to the connection here. Because of their unity of profession, they also discovered a unity of possession. A unity of profession resulted in this unity of possessions. And Luke puts it this way, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what they sold. You see, what happened here? The grace of Jesus, which is the generosity of God, that was resulting from their proclamation of his being raised from the dead, spilled over into a generosity in how they lived with one another. Generous in their profession made them generous in their possessions. Such a combination of generous words and generous deeds meant they knew that to live in the present was to live with a qualitative difference of life, to experience now eternal life, to experience in the present the reality of Jesus in our midst. And then Luke shares a beautiful story about one person who, because of his profession of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, was generous in how he shared his possessions. His name was Joseph, but the church gave him a nickname. They called him Barney or Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas was someone who looked to Jesus and so had eternal life. And it was this experience of eternal life that allowed Barnabas to discover the true value of the things of this world in a way that he lived with generosity. Barnabas, you see, discovered that what mattered most, that is, Jesus Christ risen from the dead, resulted in everything else being placed in its proper perspective. Now, the Bible is very clear on this. Things, wealth, and money, they are important. They matter. And indeed, in Luke's gospel particularly, a third of Jesus' teaching has to do with how we deal with our possessions. The Bible is very clear on this. And Barnabas was someone who understood the value of earthly possessions. But he also understood that every good gift comes down from God, the gracious Father of grace. And he learned to appreciate the true value of everything that he possessed as being a sacred trust from God. And it was in light of this reality that material things were not of less value, but they were of infinitely more value because he understood how they were to be used in the service of God and of his kingdom and community. I love the fact that Barnabas is called the son of encouragement. And the striking thing is, whenever we see Barnabas in Scripture, he's always encouraging. He's always there to bring about a deeper unity. Consider the following places where we hear of Barnabas in the Acts of the Apostles. We're told that after Saul, who becomes Paul, experiences his conversion, that Barnabas is the one who welcomes him to the community of the faithful and encourages them to bring Paul in. In Judea, he is one who carries relief offerings to the suffering Christians. And this is a symbol of hearts that are open to being generous. In Antioch, he serves with Paul in the ministry of opening minds to the gospel. And later on in Jerusalem, he's at the first ecumenical council, where he says we need to open the doors of our lives to the Gentiles. Now think of this. Barnabas invited people to open their hearts, to open their minds, and to open doors. It has a nice ring to it, don't you think? And here, in Acts 4, is Barnabas' first example of generosity, where he sells a field and gives the proceeds to the poor. For you see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is that profession that, when wholeheartedly believed, reorientates our lives. May we, like the early church, grow in our profession that Jesus Christ is alive, he is raised from the dead. And may that profession of our faith in him enable us to become more generous with our possessions, as we are people who help to open hearts, to open minds, to open doors to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and so come to know in the present that gift that we call eternal life.